guys. Thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy, of course. Amazing, giant, huge thank you to Mike Muntner for being an amazing guest. Guys, season 3 is fucking incredible to me. I am so happy with it. It's going so well, and it's insane to believe that I'm able to do the show. It's such a huge honor. I'm exhausted right now, guys. I want to apologize about that. In case you can't tell, my cold is pretty much gone. I've been on sinus. I've been on like antibiotics for the sinuses and Flonase. Guys, if anyone knows anyone that works at Flonase, give them a pat on the back. They created an amazing medicine that has made me feel like a human being again for the most part. And once my voice is back to normal, I'm just going to be so happy. Right now, I'm mostly happy, a little tired. I've been back to work now for 3 days. Back to the grind. We talked about my job in this episode a little bit more than usual. Because I and our current guest know a couple people outside of my job, which is weird and fun, but really, really cool. And I'm really happy with this episode. This is a guest that I know pretty well. I learned a lot more about her during the recording. I did not know a couple things, and those are real, genuine shocks that you will hear from me when I am genuinely shocked and impressed. And she's an interesting character, Annie Waller. She's great. She's someone I do a lot of collaboration with, and intend to collaborate a lot more with her because she is very funny and very easy to work with and a good person and very nice. That's a really good skill to have in the city and be genuine. And she is all those things, and it makes me happy because that's people I want to work with. What else? If you listen to the show and there's an episode that you haven't heard, you should go to iTunes and probably download it. All of them are on there, all 217, I think, episodes total. Granted, this is, I believe, 203, if I'm not mistaken, of the numbered ones. But there are a lot of shorter episodes, including my Bogesta backstage stuff and other stuff, too. So I think the podcast might take a slight hiatus till January. There will probably be a holiday episode again. I'm recording this actually on the first night of Hanukkah, so happy Hanukkah, everyone. It's going to be a pretty busy holiday season for me. I'm going to try to record more stuff and have little things here and there. But I will say this, there probably will not be more than one full episode before the end of the year, and I'm going to try my best to make it be another great guest, because I think it's great to have like a nice big or exciting guest every time that I can, and I'm happy with that type of stuff. We're on the smallest hiatus. It's literally just a Christmas break when you really think about it. Time to do the film review. I saw Creed the other day, and Jesus Christ, guys. Okay, so I have a weird backstory with Creed. First off, I've always been a big Rocky fan. Been wanting to see Creed for about 8 or 9 months since I first heard of it. Big Ryan Coogler fan. I thought Fruitvale Station was incredible. Michael B. Jordan, I've been a fan of since Fruitvale Station. Seen every one of his movies except for Fantastic Four, because I could tell that was a big old stinking lump of turd and decided not to see that. So I bought a ticket to see Creed right before I left to Florida. I'm in the theater. And this guy starts punching the air in the first fight in the movie, which happens literally 20 seconds into the film, and he doesn't stop, nor does he slow down, and he actually gains speed every time that there was a fight or a montage of any form, which in the first 20 minutes there are plenty. And if you know me, I'm a big old fucking scaredy cat, and when that happened, I actually went down to the box office like, there's a guy punching the air, I am scared that I'm gonna get hit. And I got my ticket back. Tried it again in Florida. Did not work out there for more normal reasons. Just couldn't get a seat. I saw it this past week. And guys, Jesus Christ. It's good. It's really good. I was really nervous about some things I cannot talk about, nor do I need to talk about. I was really nervous about it, and then I actually, what I did was, I was like, fuck it, I need to go see Creed tonight, because I got a big thing tomorrow, and I gotta take care of this right now. So I saw Creed, 20 minutes, like 30 minutes of the movie, my mind is off of everything inside, outside of the theater. Everyone's giving amazing performances. Sylvester Stallone will probably, if all is right in the world, may actually win an Oscar for his performance as Rocky Balboa in this film. He is incredible. And it's just a really satisfying film. If you like the Rocky movies, you have to see what is Rocky 7, honestly. Creed is Rocky 7. It's the first Rocky movie, not to be called Rocky, but it is a Rocky movie. And it rocks. All right, so I've been talking too much right now. I feel like this is going on long enough, and I feel like you're going to enjoy this episode. So without further ado, here's Andy Waller. Bye-bye. Okay, we're back. Hi-o is the way I'm introducing this part. Yeah, sure. Hi-o! Don't know why I do that, but I keep doing it, and it's not stopping yet. Hi-o! Yeah, okay. Today's guest is someone that I think is the bee's knees. I collaborate with her a lot. She's a co-host of Improv Bingo. She's now in my web series / live sketch, Seamless, which you can catch the last few episodes tomorrow, and like a few more over the next few weeks, because it ends sometime in December. I don't know when 10 weeks of show ends. It doesn't matter. I love this girl. She's the absolute best. Andy Waller, how are you?
Hi-o. Is that what we're supposed to do?
I don't know why it just came out. I don't plan much in this podcast. Like, I just am like, I'm going to talk to a friend for an hour and see what happens.
That's great, because I have nothing prepared. I'm like, good. Just ask me questions. am I supposed to tell you about myself?
Not yet. Don't worry.
Oh, great. Okay.
This is like, I like to think this podcast is a 3-act play.
Okay.
Act one is just like getting to know you, like okay. Warming up, and then like, you know, like biography, and et cetera. Cool. So breathe, relax. Are you nervous?
I am.
Why are you nervous?
Here's the thing. No idea.
This is like the least nerve-wracking thing that we do together. You realize?
That's true.
At least for me. I mean, I get scared shitless every Improv Bingo.
Really?
I get so nervous.
Seamless
is a whole nother beast where I just stress out.
Yeah. There's a lot more preparation that goes into that one.
Oh, there's
for like a 1 minute versus an hour long show.
Where we just have to plan like 15 minutes basically ourselves.
It's
weird. I got really nervous in the first few episodes coming back for season 3 because I took a 4-month hiatus, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, yeah. But don't worry, you're safe. You're good. You got Diet Dr. Pepper, which is a great flavor.
It's a problem. I warned my boyfriend when he came home with me, like, in September.
Yeah.
My family just has soda in the house all the time. And, like, when I'm in the city... I drink more, like, coffee and other things, but, like, when I go back to my house, it's, like, soda, and especially Diet Dr. Pepper. I don't know why,
but it's weird.
Like, a thing. Like, my grandparents, especially if I go to my grandparents' house, I'm going to them for Thanksgiving, actually, and it's, like, all I'm gonna have to drink, because we won't have
coffee. It's weird, because, like, Diet Dr. Pepper is probably the best diet soda. Like, I'm a really big Dr. Pepper nerd. Dr. Pepper is the shit to me. Like, any flavored Dr. Pepper. Like, you remember when they had the vanilla cherry Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, we still get those cans sometimes, and it's the best.
I know. Vanilla and soda is the best. Like, vanilla Coke, like, people look at me like I'm crazy, like, because it's not really, it never caught on in the North, but they sell it still here.
Yeah.
And people are like, why are you drinking vanilla Coke? I'm like, because it's better than regular Coke.
Yeah, it definitely, vanilla Coke, whenever I drink it, I feel like it's, like, a pure form of myself, because I really love sugar.
Yeah.
And, like, vanilla Coke is, like, only sugar, and it's fabulous.
Yeah. But, like, Dr. Pepper, even Diet Dr. Pepper still tastes like Dr. Pepper, which is really weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I haven't had normal Dr. Pepper in a long time.
I mean, I feel like it's a little bit more bubbly, normal Dr. Pepper, but that's, like, about it. Like, because, like, Yeah, well, my stand-up jokes are like, all about, like, the 23 flavors in Dr. Pepper. And, like...
I remember finding out. I was on, like, a cruise with my family.
Yeah.
I was pretty young at the time, but I remember finding out. It was, like, on the cruise for some reason. I found out Dr. Pepper had prune juice in it.
Yeah.
And I got, like, freaked out, and I couldn't drink it for, like, a couple months.
That's insane. Because
I was like, prunes are gross.
Sure. I mean, I never had an issue with prunes. The only thing I've always had an issue with is tomatoes.
I'm weird about tomatoes, too. I like it, like, sauce, but I don't like that tomato.
I like it in pizza sauce. Like, that's about it. But, like, I still prefer, like, a white pizza sometimes to a
red. Really?
I like white pizza. I actually discovered that very recently. Yeah, I got a white pizza because right next to my job, there's, oddly enough, Joe's Pizza. there's a lot of Joe's in that block. But... Yeah, like, their white slices, unbearably good.
Oh, wow.
It's not cheap, but it's good. But, like, tomatoes, I'm bad. Like, I'm bad with tomatoes. Like, my mom couldn't eat tomatoes when she was, like, pregnant with me, even. Like, and I don't know why. Probably because I hate tomatoes that much. But, like, there's this guy that shops in my job that we call Tomato Guy. He's probably, like, the split the difference between our ages. So, he's, mm-hmm. like, you know, like, mid to late 20s. Maybe a little bit. I have no idea how old he is. He's like a young professional.
I think I may have heard of this guy.
Really?
Where do you work?
Well, I work at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, and he gets tomatoes and something else, and he like tells the cashiers. Yeah, and he's like, tomatoes are good for your cock. Didn't he say that?
How do you know this guy?
Okay, I don't know
him. How?
I'm in a class with
Evan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. And he told our class that
story. Makes no sense. Evan brought that up in class.
Well, we talk about...
It's all like, real stuff, in that class.
Yeah, you just talk about, like, your week.
It's like, because, like, my roommate Mike, when I signed him that you're coming over to record, he's, why did I know? He's, I'm in class. I'm like, he might swing by.
So, who?
Mike, my roommate. Mike Romanos?
Oh, you live with Mike Romanos?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I had no idea.
Well, right? I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but it's a small world.
But yeah, it was like, that's hilarious that I brought up tomato guy. But I rang him up at work the other day. And like, he's just popping these like grape tomatoes in his mouth. I was like, I gotta get him away quick. And it was like a $200 sale of like just tomatoes and seaweed snack.
Well, you know, he knows what his deal is. So that's...
Apparently makes your cock work better. I don't know about that.
I don't know. Tomatoes I've always had a weird issue with. I don't know. It's like I am so weird about food. Yeah. I'm less picky than I was when I was younger. But, like, I'm very concerned with texture. Like, I can't eat a lot of things texturally. And then also I have a lot of weird mental blocks.
Okay, I understand that.
Like, just knowing, because I grew up with, like, my dad not liking seafood. And
yeah.
I never liked seafood. So I think when I was younger, mentally... I, like, decided I didn't like seafood, and I have tried it a couple times since then.
Yeah.
But I always hate it. I can't, even if it tastes mostly normal, there's, like, a little, like, aftertaste that lets me know it's seafood, even if it's, like, really good salmon. I can't eat it. I can't eat it.
I think our listeners are realizing pretty soon, like, why we are frequent collaborators and get along as human beings. Because we have, like, weird hangups, which are, I'm not saying anything wrong about, like, I'm not the biggest seafood fan either. I like shrimp.
Ugh.
I like scallops.
No.
Do you like scallops?
No. That sounds gross.
They taste kind of like tofu.
But tofu is also gross.
I know. It's got that consistency, though, where it's, like, kind of, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, from what I've said on this... I should be extremely unhealthy because I just, like, love sugar and, like, don't eat vegetables.
Well, you look healthy.
Thank you.
I mean, you look healthier than me. Granted, I'm the one that's, like, falling apart. This team is
just... Yeah, can I ask what happened to your back?
Well, a few months ago, I fucked up my back pretty badly at work. I think I told you about that. I was, like, out of work for a week. And then on Saturday morning, like, Friday night, I was working and my back was a little bit in pain. But, like, okay, whatever, I'll just get a good night's sleep. Try to see Hunger Games, but that didn't work out, so I just came home and watched, like, Billy on the Streets and passed out. Fun fact for people that are listening at home, I did bump into the older lady from Bob Dylan or Anal Sex at work the other day, and I freaked the fuck out.
Can I say, also, they didn't, I assume I can say this, I don't know why it would be confidential, but if it is, whoops. I work at, a glass studio in, Fort Greene. And I got, like, an email request or, like, a phone call from someone that works on Billy on the Street. And they wanted us to see if we could find someone to make a mosaic, like a glass mosaic of Ashton Kutcher. And he like sent me a picture and I loved it and was so for it. But their timeline was like one day and we're like,
that sounds right. That show is like so.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, we can't accommodate that. That's just like.
That's insane.
We can't do that.
That's so but funny.
I loved it. And I like printed out the picture and like showed it to everyone at work because I thought it was so funny. And no one knew what the show was. I was like, oh my god,
Billy on the Streets is so fun.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, so I was at work and then like I went home and I was like, okay, my back's still a little bit of pain. Then I was on register and then next thing I know, I'm like, I got like a full cart and like I'm like picking up items from the bottom and then I'm like, oh, my back just hurt. And then I and they still had a turkey to pull out from the bottom too.
Oh.
And it was a 15-minute like transaction, and like my whole back was just like
shot.
I was just like, I need to leave now. And but tomorrow I'm going to my chiropractor.
Okay,
I'm on a lot of painkillers. I'm on ibuprofen right now, not painkillers, because because painkillers was prescribed me last time, and that was not good. But it's all fine. I mean, like I'm. Like, basically, the doctor was just like, hey, you should just chill out for a few days. And, yeah, until our chiropractor can see you on a Tuesday. And she's two blocks from her, which makes me so happy.
That's nice.
Like, I wake up, like, 10:30 tomorrow and then just go there and have her do her magic and then go to the CDMD and be cleared for work, hopefully. If not, then I don't work till I come back from Thanksgiving.
Are you doing anything exciting for Thanksgiving?
I actually was able to go home.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to be able to. I noticed, like, last Friday or so that, like, I have, like, a gap between, like, a 3-day gap between, like, getting out of work on Wednesday and, like, working on Saturday. So I looked up on JetBlue and I saw there was, like, affordable-ish flight. Like, round trip about $500.
Wow. Can I think I know where you're from, but can I guess?
Yeah.
I might be completely wrong. Are you from Michigan?
We got the first two letters right.
Really? Minnesota?
Well, not state-wise.
Okay.
Miami.
Oh, Miami. Oh, my God. Of course. Because you have your Florida show.
Yeah.
Only a Florida person can write a solid Florida show.
Better statement. Only a Florida person should write.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
Why did I think you were from Michigan? I don't...
I have no idea. I mean,
it, like, felt so I do have
a northeastern nest to me, but that's about it. like people always say I'm from Brooklyn or like from like Queens, just like that. But no, I'm like, nope. Whole family is, but not me.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know, so you're going to your grandparents?
Kind of. I'm going to where they will be, but my, I have a couple cousins that are leaving to go on church missions for a couple years. So my grandparents were like, oh, this is the last time our whole family can be together for like the next 2 years. So we're all going to do Thanksgiving together. And they like rented out this beautiful...
In Utah or...
No, in Virginia, because half of our family is the East Coast. So it's like this big house in like Leesburg, Virginia. And they're like paying everyone's way to get there. And we just are in this house from like Wednesday to like Saturday night.
Nice.
And it's going to be like really great.
You have a huge family, don't you?
Huge-ish? I don't know. It doesn't feel big to me, but I think it's, like, bigger than some people's.
My family's small, so I'm afraid to ask how big your family
is. No, okay. On this side, on my mom's side of the family, I have my grandparents. They had three children. Each of... my mom had four kids, my aunt had four kids, and my uncle had two. So there's altogether 10 cousins on that side of the family.
Yeah.
And then on my dad's side of the family, my dad has 5 siblings.
Holy shit.
Okay, hold on. There's Robert, Kurt, Tony, Craig, Evelyn, my dad. Yeah, okay. He had 5 siblings.
Yeah.
I have to, like, count on my hands.
You have a lot.
It's not even that much. I, like, know them all. I can name them all. So there's 3 and then 2 and then 2 and then 3 and then 4 of us.
Oh, my God.
So I think there's 14 on that side.
Holy shit.
It's really not that big.
I've got, like...
It's spread out, though. My dad's side of the family, like, I have cousins, lots of various ages.
That's insane to me. Like, I'm an only child...
Oh, wow. I can't imagine that life. I'm sure being an only child is, like, Because everyone's
Where do you fall in your siblings? Are you like oldest, middle, or youngest?
I'm the second oldest. So my brother, me, my sister, my younger brother. And I know everyone's experience of life is like great for what it is.
Oh, totally.
And like, you know, being in like living your life, you probably can't imagine having a different type of life. But like, I really can't imagine not having siblings.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, the only part of my family that has like a three is on my mom's side. Like her, she's one of three. Mm. Everyone else is like two.
Wow.
Or one, which is me, but.
Yeah, I guess part of it probably does come from like the Mormon LDS culture of like having a lot of children. My great aunt, my grandma's sister had 10 kids. So
that's insane.
That's crazy. That side of the family, I can't.
That's just like popping out.
If I saw them, I know I'm related to them, but like I can never remember their names because they all look the same too. They all look very similar.
And it's like, I actually had no idea that you were raised Mormon until like last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, because it's just, I don't think religion's ever been a thing that's come up for us as people.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think a lot of it is, because it was so much a part of my life,
in the beginning?
Yeah, in the beginning and even through college. Yeah. But, like, when I moved here, that was something I kind of had, like, left in my wake. And so I haven't interacted with it much in this.
That's,
In, like, the realm of people that I hang out with now. So it's...
Well, especially, I mean, like, the realm that we're in is, like, very much, like, it's, like, very much just Northeastern, like, meh, we don't care.
Yeah.
About religion.
It was actually really great, because I moved to the city, I moved to New York, almost immediately after my brother moved here to go to law school, and then a couple months after that, so it was just me and my brother in the city. And then my grandparents got called on a LDS mission here.
Yeah.
My grandpa's like a Mormon ambassador to the UN.
Oh, that's so cool.
He did a lot of UN work. So they were here living here for like a year and a half. And it started from me making this like scary jump to the city alone.
Right. And was this before college or after?
After college.
Yeah.
So I had been here a little bit during college, but, had finished and was moving back. And I was, like, scared because it was, like, this leap I was making on my own. And then suddenly my brother was here, too.
Yeah.
And then suddenly my grandparents were here. And then I had family here all the time. And it was nice. I miss having them because I could, like, I'd be sick and they'd take care of me.
Are you ready? I mean, like, it's crazy for me because my whole family is from New York City.
Really?
And then they all migrated down to, like, Florida in, like, the 70s and 80s and had kids in the late 70s and throughout the 80s. Nice. So, like... And then, like, the fact, like, they all live in Florida. My cousin Lindsay now lives in Louisiana because she's going to LSU for grad school. But, everyone is a New York Jew in my family. Or from Miami and basically a New York Jew because we're all very Northeastern people.
I was actually born in Rochester, New York.
Oh, cool.
Because that's where my dad went to grad school and he had me and my brother while he was in.
Nice. Were you like into like comedy and acting as a kid?
No.
That face you just made.
Well, I always feel so, not like out of the loop, but like, I think my family, like we loved some things. Like my family, except my mom loved The Simpsons. My mom did not like The Simpsons. and we'd always get like a new season for every like long car trip we took.
Oh yeah.
But in terms of like SNL and like those kind of things, I never watched them. I never really watched or knew anything about SNL until college.
Yeah.
I did some acting in school though.
Cool.
And I even did some acting in college, but.
What? So like you were raised in Utah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what's like growing up in like that state? I mean, because I imagine like since, you know, raised a Mormon, like that must have been like everyone's like exactly the same in that regard.
Kind of. There is in terms of like everyone goes to church and you like know people from your neighborhood and church. But I don't know. People are still really varied and different. I mean, no, I say that. And then I like think about it. I'm like, no, it's a lot of like white middle class people. that just have like varying interests.
Yeah.
But being raised there, I don't know, it's nice. I loved it. The mountains are my backyard, basically.
Yeah, I've only been in mountains maybe a few hours. Maybe I can count on my hands like the days I've been in mountains.
That's so sad. Go go into them. take a week and just go. No, but I nature was definitely a big part of growing up.
Yeah.
Because it is such like a beautiful place where we were always going to different like national parks and going on like Sunday walks and hikes with my family, and like skiing and all that stuff.
Cool.
But I did in terms of like it is a lot of the same people. The more I think about it, I was, like, getting defensive at first.
What part of Utah were you raised in?
I was raised in partially Provo.
Okay.
Which is down where this town where BYU is.
Is that where you went?
No.
You're like, I'd probably be a lot more Mormon now if...
No, I probably would just be even, like, more radically against and, like, have a lot more self-loathing. Okay.
I understand that. I mean, because like for me, like I went to Jewish day school till I was in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. Like seventh grade is when I started like public school, but like I was like picked on all the time because I was like the poor kid and like, mm-hmm. the weird kid. Because mm-hmm. It was like the rich Jewish day school,
yeah,
and like all the rich Jewish kids went there, and like I had a bad experience. That's the easiest way to put it.
Yeah,
it's like because like the episode that just aired in our real timeline, mm-hmm. not the podcast timeline, but an hour timeline. The Aaron Gold episode, we talk about like being the awkward Jewish kid, like really? A lot, because we both were the awkward Jewish kid. So,
yeah,
like I feel like if I went to like more private schools, I would be more against like things that I'm not fully against.
Yeah, I don't know. I went to private school for pretty much all of my. I went to the same school 5th grade through 12th grade. It's a school.
Small school?
Yeah, very small school. My mom is a teacher there, so we were all able to go. I don't know what my point was, except that
you're like, I knew everyone for 7 years straight also.
I grew up in, you know, suburban, beautiful Utah. I went to private school. My life is great.
Oh, wow. So, where did you go to college then?
Oh, I went to college in Ohio at a small liberal arts college called the College of Worcester, which cool. I loved it there.
What was your major there?
My major, okay. I studied dance and theater and then minored in film.
Oh, that's but cool.
Dance was the focus. That's what I initially like moved to New York to pursue.
I had no idea about that.
Really?
Yeah. I had no idea about that.
Oh, that's crazy, because that also was a lot of my life. Pretty much that's like what my extracurriculars were when I was in high school.
I think all only times I've ever seen you dance is at the Gethard show.
That's just like,
I know, it's not real dancing.
Well, I get, yeah, I don't know, I love dancing and I like try to go to class still, but it's hard and expensive, and that's not a good reason, because like there's dancers that are doing it, but
especially like like where you live, which is just I know a few blocks away from here, is like the dance mecca of Brooklyn.
Yeah
Mark Morris is a few blocks from you, I'm assuming.
I interned there for a long time.
One of my good friends and coworkers who I'm about to make a comedy video with is a teacher there, and like I think part of the company to a certain extent, I'm not sure.
Who?
Her name's Lindsay Mandolini.
I know her.
Oh,
what, you know, okay, here's why I know Lindsay. I'm Facebook friends with her, and I think I met her when I was here during college, and I think we both interned at Galeem Dance at the same time.
I have no idea.
So I think in that time we became
Facebook friends. Which also makes sense, because like, I think the same age.
Yeah.
A year or two apart. Yeah.
Did she go to Tisch?
I don't know.
Okay.
I only know her through Trader Joe's.
Okay.
So.
I'm pretty sure. I'm definitely Facebook friends with her. Or I might know her. I might know her through like Mark Morris too. But I think we both interned at Galeem.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't remember me, because I was a terrible intern. Terrible.
I'm sure you weren't that bad.
But I didn't like get much from it either. But yeah, you get what you put into it. But weird. I wonder if I'm even still Facebook friends, or if I like deleted her, because I was like, we never interact.
Like, I love how you're like, I know exactly what you're gonna do when we finish recording.
I'm gonna go look up if I'm still friends with her on Facebook. I am. That is, yes, that's what I'm gonna do. Weird. God, New York City is so small.
And like, it's so weird, because like that job is just like fucking, like, it's like literally 60% actors, artists, musicians, dancers, and it's like insane.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Like, I've made some, like, I've gotten some really great things out of it.
Yeah, I think what I, because I was doing that for a while, like working like coffee shops and things, while like trying to pursue more like art stuff, but I found I was never really good at that.
Coffee shops?
Or just, like, doing your, like, working, finding ways to, like...
Yeah.
Be creative and, like, work on your own projects while also kind of doing that kind of, like, hourly work. So, like, now it's at a place
it's really tough.
Yeah. I know. I'm, like, saying I couldn't, but I...
And, like, you have me right in front of you who literally work probably... If I were to guess how many hours a week I work, that's not at work. It's probably more than I work. Yeah. And I work about 35 hours a week right now.
Yeah. Ugh. So, but I've definitely found that having, like, a more 9-to-5 job that's, like, in the arts community, that has made me happier. And, like, I need that. And, like, pursuing my own artistic stuff is important, but I don't think I can do it without having, like, that stability.
Can we talk dance for a little bit?
Sure.
Because I don't think I've ever really talked dance on this podcast. And I'm actually a really, really big fan of dance.
Yeah.
What's your choice, like, style of dance?
Ugh. Okay, a lot of things. Well, I started my history in dance. I started doing jazz, like, jazz dance when I was really little. And then I grew up, and when we moved to Sandy, Utah, which is the other place, the other part of Utah I lived in, which is a suburb of Salt Lake, I started at a new dance studio that requires everyone to take ballet. Like, I had to take ballet.
Ballet
to do
is
jazz.
The most fun form of dance.
Really?
Well, for me, when I was learning my body as an actor, I really, really, really spoke a lot to me.
That actually makes sense because it is very. Like, focus.
It's not my favorite. I think I don't know what my favorite is, but I really enjoyed ballet a lot.
Yeah, and I did it, and I fell in love with it. Like, after being kind of forced to do it, I, like, really, like, fell hard and did that all through high school. And then when I was looking at colleges, like, I wanted a ballet program, but then I ended up choosing the one I did because they gave me a good scholarship and it had other things I was interested in. And I was not planning on going to school for dance, so it wasn't, like, for sure what I, like, needed in a school. But then I went to this college and I just found myself taking the dance classes because, of course, I was. And I learned more about modern dance, and I actually took a dance history class.
Those are awesome classes.
Yeah, honestly, that was the first time taking, like, a dance history class. It was the first time I was able to, like, place myself in history in a way. I was never good at history, like, dates and all those things, and learning, like, the timeline of how the world has grown is so difficult for me. But, like, when I put it in the context of dance and, like, seeing the movements from one to the other and how that interacts with, like, the years and what was going on in history, I found it a lot. Like, it made things click better for
me. That's so cool.
Also, I just found it fascinating and cool.
Yeah, that's really cool stuff. I remember, like, I had to take, like, 5 or 6 dance classes, like, throughout, like, because, I mean, when you get 3 undergraduate diplomas in theater, you have to take, like, a lot of dance classes.
Good, you should.
But, like, the thing is, I feel like it's, like, really required. Like, honestly, like, I think it's, like, more important for, like, for acting than people realize. Like, especially, I really think, like improv people, like, if they want to learn how to use how their body works, they should take dance classes.
Yeah, it's something...
At least ballet. I mean, ballet is not the easiest form.
But it makes you do what, like, a lot of dance... And there's other forms of dance that, like, would do it well, too, but it gives you a better, like, kinesthetic sense.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Awareness of where your body is in space and, like, how you're moving. And I think as a performer, that is, like... essential. And there's some people that don't need it. Like, in improv, there's some people that don't need it, that, like, have it naturally, or it, like, it doesn't fit in the style of what they're doing. But I personally believe that, like, having an awareness of your body on stage can only help you.
I fully agree with you so much. Like, that's, like, something I really, like, it's weird, because, like, I took classes in that before I went to UF, like, because UF was my second school. But at UF, it's, like, where I really, like, clicked. I'm like, oh my god, I'm understanding myself as a performer better. And the kind of performer I want to be because of this. And learning, like, it's weird because it kind of, like, was, like, felt like kind of like an on-camera kind of class, like, acting class in a weird way. Because, you know, you learn about subtlety and stuff like that in dance.
Yeah.
And what reads and what doesn't read. And, like, I really, like, love dance so much.
Yeah.
Like... I really, really want to see The Hard Night at BAM.
I haven't seen it live, but I've seen the video, and it's so good. Like, Ms. Snow is, the first time I saw it, was so, like magical. I felt myself, I was like, like I got excited.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Perked up. So yeah, go see it.
It's yeah, great. I get really excited with like BAM makes me so excited. I barely used it since moving here. Like I use it more for the movie theater than I know you're like, cause you're like always at the BAM, except like whenever I talk to you, like, yeah, I just saw this movie at BAM.
Yeah. I also, what's really great is I work at an arts organization in Brooklyn. Yeah. There's something called the Downtown Brooklyn Arts
Alliance. I know what that is. Cause I worked at BAM for a hot minute.
Yeah.
And, I worked there for literally a month and like when I lived in Astoria, which was a bitch.
That's awful.
Plus the job is one of those jobs that works really well if you're a girl, but the worst job ever if you're a guy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
For those that want to know, it was a sponsorship at BAM. So like calling people up, cold calling them and being like, hey, you want to donate money? They're like, no, you're a guy.
Yeah. People in terms of like customer service and things, maybe not for great reasons, but women do tend to get better, like have better interactions, yeah. I think. Not, maybe not for the woman, but for the customer, if that makes sense.
Unfortunately, yeah, it does.
Yeah. But yeah, so the Downtown Brooklyn Arts Alliance means that like there's things at BAM or like Tofana, which is Theater for a New Audience. Yep.
I've not been in the new space yet, but I need to go.
They will, whenever they like don't sell out shows or like have shows coming up, they'll just like send out blasts to everyone and be like, free tickets to this show on this night. So I've actually been seeing a lot of really great stuff.
Yeah.
For free. And I get to kind of anyways, because I still, one of the women I worked for when I was here in college, who I interned with, her name is Celia Epiotis. Her company is Ion Dance in the Arts. And she did a public access series back in like the 80s on dance and just interviewing different prominent dancers and choreographers and like.
Like Merce Cunningham and people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't think if she interviewed Merce, I'd lose my mind because he's my favorite.
Merce,
if you're wondering who's my favorite, he's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's there's like him, but then also like the schools and people that came after him, like on.
Also explains your love of improv too, honestly.
Really?
Kind of. Well, the randomness.
Oh
of
yeah,
Merce.
Yeah. He's all about chance. It's great.
And the fact that I know that you're not a scared performer.
Yeah, he's. Yeah,
keep
I don't know.
Mind.
I am a scared performer.
Okay, so fine. Maybe, as so, my experiences with you are not that scared.
Yeah, it's because I put on very like blanket.
Were you really never nervous from improv bingo? Even
oh no, I do. I. This sounds awful, but because I do care, but also like. Improv bingo, because I'm not doing any improv.
We literally just host the show.
We just host it. So
and,
I don't...
And interact with the characters.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't get nervous because I'm not, like... I'm just, like, talking. And, like, there's no expectation of me to, like, be performing. It's just, like, hosted. Hosting is, like, a very different role for me than performing. So it's not being nervous because I'm, like, I just know...
You're making it sound like we should, like, book some improv teams that we're on for improv bingo. No, that'd be way too weird. I'm going to try to lie on skinny dark in here.
Okay.
But, yeah. But, yeah, I was thinking about that, like around, like, month three or month four. I'm like, it'd be funny if we just, like, booked our teams.
I thought about it.
I was still
on my team. I was like, should I ask to put, like, my team up? And then I was like, I don't want to.
I know, like, how, like, because, like, carrying that bag around it. Hey, you have to do it this month.
I know, I do. I'm glad because we have a bag of prizes for our improv bingo show. This big bag just full of random
prizes
stuff.
And props and bingo cards.
And it's obnoxious. And we trade it back and forth every show. But last show we didn't have for a month, so you had to hang on to the bag for 2 months.
Right, because we took off for September because we were going out of town. And the one holiday I celebrate was happening at the exact same time.
And then, but now, because we don't have a show in November too, I get it for 2 months.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We didn't.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, good.
That's right.
Now I don't feel bad
about it. It was the end of October, our last show.
Yeah.
And our next show is not till the very end of the year.
Yeah, very end of December.
Which we still haven't decided yet. We probably, because I feel like no one really cared on what day it was.
I know.
Everyone's like, we're down, but we don't know if we're...
Yeah, we just should just...
We'll probably just announce it at the end of this episode, and I'll just let BJ know. Just... I'll just... I hate how funny I'm finding this. I don't know why I'm finding that funny.
Wait, what?
Like, me being like, yeah, the show's gonna be on this day. BJ, you know that.
Oh, just tell
me. Well, I mean, he did asking. Give us dates, so yeah. I'll email him today.
Okay.
We'll discuss it off the air, but I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we know what day it's gonna be.
Yeah.
It's this year, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw Merce Cunningham stuff, and I was just like, what in the fuck is happening?
Oh my god. I like him for a lot of reasons. His stuff isn't always... He's more how I choreograph, because I choreograph a lot, too. Not as much anymore, but that was kind of the thing I was more interested in. And, like, the way he works, and, like, choreographically, I'm fascinated. But his dances aren't always... Like, a lot of the time, they're very, like, interesting to watch, but they have no emotional appeal.
Right.
And that's his whole, like, thing, though. Because he came out of Martha Graham's school and her company. And Martha Graham, for those who don't know, is all about emotion. Like, her whole thing is you have to feel everything and just, like, contractions and, like, agony and pain. And Merce was like, no thanks. He's like, it's not about that. Which I kind of tend to agree with, too. Like, when making dances, I'm not as interested in, like, what I'm showing. Like, what is... the like emotion involved is, and more just like what can the body do and what makes interesting visuals, and like how can we use this body as just like a tool for visual art. I don't know, but those all aren't always my favorite types of dances to watch. So I choreograph dances cool that video, are like not my favorite to watch, but like I like them intellectually, just terrible. Yeah, I don't know. Because there are, like, one of my favorite choreographers is Pina Bausch.
Oh, my God.
German Expressionism.
Oh, great movie. Pina is also...
directed by Wim Wenders, who's great.
If you're very Caucasian, Wim Wenders.
Wim Wenders, yeah.
I'm so happy to have you on the show. Sorry, like, you're someone that I feel like I know pretty damn well. Mm-hmm. I did not know this dance thing at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
Okay.
I do like German Expressionism a lot, too, even though it's the complete opposite of what I just said I like, which is, like, dance about body and, like, shape, and they're really just, like, dance about emotion. The first one was, like, Mary Wigman was her name, and she did, like, this witch dance.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess she came out of, like, Kurt Jost, who did the Green Table, which is, like, a great dance, also with, like, masks and stuff. But it was this whole, like, kind of dissolving into, like, chaotic, gross, like, just, like, expressive movement that, like, happened in Germany. Pina then came out of, like, that line a little bit. So she's very emotional and, like, poignant in her stuff,
cool.
Which is nice.
Cool. So what brought you into the world of improv?
Peer pressure. Kind of.
I mean, because I know you say you have a little bit of an acting background, and I feel like that probably helped a little bit get you in there, but...
A little, but really had nothing to do with it. Because actually in college, I was in my junior year. Was it? It might have even been my senior. No, it was my junior year, for sure. I was in a play.
What play?
It was called... Oh, I can't remember what
describe
it, was
it. I
called.
Might know it.
No, it was a world premiere of a translation of a Hispanic play, or not Hispanic. I think Spanish. Is Vasquez the name of a painter?
And a poet. There's two Vasquezes I'm thinking that it could be.
Well, he painted like us, like Spanish royalty.
Yeah,
and it's like based off one of his like pictures.
Oh, cool.
I can't even remember because I've like blocked it out. But basically, I hated being in that play. I didn't like it. Like the director was so mean, and he was mean in a way where he'd be like, say something, he'd be like, "Well, this would be great if I had good actors." Haha, just kidding.
Oh.
But like really pointed stuff all the time like that, and then brush it off as just kidding. And like by the end, I remember doing the play, like the show each night, and being like doing it differently because I'm like, I don't know what's working. Like I like lost all confidence, and like after that, I was like, I never want to act again. I was like, this isn't my strength. That's I don't so want to do this. But it did, it gave me the chance to, like, lean harder into dance, which is what I was more interested in. But then I moved to New York, and because when I was here, I did, like, a semester, so, like, 3 months in New York during college, which I've mentioned. And in that time, I lived 3 blocks away from the UCB Chelsea Theater.
Okay.
So I met people going to, like, ASCAT every week. I made friends with people who then, like, those people also went to the Chris Gethard show at MNN, so I started going to that. And so I kind of knew people coming here. So when I moved back to the city a year and a half later, I was like, I'm going to go to the Gethard show again because I know there's some people I kind of know here. Hopefully that'll be, like, a connection for me to, like, have friends and, like, know people and, like, not just be alone in this city. And that's kind of, that's, like, exactly what happened. And it was, like, great. It was so nice. And I met my boyfriend almost, we had, like, kind of met when I was here before, but, like, we connected pretty quickly when I got here. So I started dating him and, like, going to indie shows. I was, like, going to indie shows, like, months before I started doing improv.
Yeah, I think I saw you at an indie show before. I really, really knew who you
were. Yeah, so, like, the transition into, like, doing that kind of stuff was pretty easy. And I was, like, by the time I started doing it, it was, like, rear-end to go. But I even told people, I'm like, it's not for me. It's, like, something I like, but it's not a strength. Like, I don't have any interest in doing it. And I really didn't. I, like, didn't want to do that. I didn't like the idea of, like, putting myself in a place where I could look foolish. Like, I became very guarded.
Which is so funny because I, like, the performer that I know you are, I'm like, you're not, like, scared. Yeah,
like, it changed a lot. Yeah. It, like, taking classes, I think, really opened me up in a nice way where I became less afraid of kind of people.
Who's like, your one-on-one teacher?
They would say Don Finelli. I saw a class, like, everyone was pressuring me to take classes because all my friends did, and they were always talking about it.
Yeah.
And I was walking
especially
because,
like, the Gethard crew, like, because I think when you got into doing improv, it was, like, when, like, that big renaissance happened for where, like, a good portion of the Gethard crew started doing improv.
Yeah.
At, like, the same time.
Yeah. And so finally, I was walking home from work late one night, and I got, like, the text message alert on my phone, and, like, class with Don Finelli just went up. It was, like, a twice-a-week one in the mornings that I could take, and I was like, oh, like, this fits my schedule, and I know I like him as a performer and, like, as a person, and so I, like, wouldn't mind being in class with him. It's, like, a name I knew. I took it and then was like, God damn it, I like this a lot, and then just didn't look back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah.
I still don't know in terms of improv. It's, I don't know if comedy is still, like, a thing that I want to pursue for, like, my life and career. I'm, like, at a place right now where I'm trying to decide or, like, find the balance, figure out, like, what I actually want from it, whether I want it to just be, like, a hobby that, like, I get, like, fulfillment out of, or whether I want to kind of push in the direction of it more in terms of, like, finding a, like, career, I guess.
Well, I can tell you this. As someone that does work with you a lot, you are very easy to work with.
I try to be. I don't like to cause conflict, so I'm usually pretty accommodating.
Yeah, no, I know, but, like, I mean, like, I mean, I've worked with you on, like, a couple of projects now, and I'm, like, you're always, like, one of my first choice people to work with.
Oh, thank you.
Because you're good at what you do, and, like, and you're funny, and you're easy to work with.
Oh, thanks.
Like, there's people that I'm like, yeah, you're funny, but I don't want to work with you.
Yeah, I have some of those people, too.
And, yeah. I mean, I've been around for over 5.5 years at this point.
That's crazy, yeah.
And, like, I mean, I'm not the busiest person ever at UCB right now, but, like, still I have connections that matter to me. And even though you're a newer connection, you're one of the better ones I have.
Yeah, thanks.
No, I'm serious, because, like, when I posted up about, like, improv bingo, like, when I was, like, trying to think of, like, figure out the show, and, like, you, like, immediately were like, yeah, I'm interested.
No, you posted that, right? I was, like, having, like, a crisis day
of being, serious?
Like, what am I doing? Like, I
are you
feel
serious?
Like, well, I felt like I just, like, wasn't doing enough, and I felt, like, lazy, and I felt stalled, and, like, I was like, I want to do, like, I need projects. So I, like, started a different project that morning with a friend, and then you posted that, and I was like, there's something done, gonna comment. And I was like, this looks fun.
You were the first one to comment. I don't know if many other people comment, but, like, yeah. And, like, we created a show that people like to do.
Yeah. So it worked out. I'm glad I
And, like, it was full-on collaboration, too. Because I was like, I have an idea for a show, but I don't know much else. It's true.
Yeah.
We haven't had a chance to do the dance party yet.
I know.
Granted, we'd have to get that track to Manolo, because Manolo likes to do our tech.
Yeah. He's so funny. That's just a plug. Manolo's so funny.
Manolo Moreno is one of my favorite people to perform with. Like, we do two prob together every once in a while.
Really?
And it's the most absurd thing in the world to try and match energy. Which is so funny. Because, like, our sense of humor are exactly the same. Like, we find the same things exactly, like,
That's
funny.
That's great.
But, like, the way we are as people is so different. Like, at least energy-wise. Like, what we try to do is we try to match energy. So basically, it's me dropping energy a lot. I'm, like, lifting it a little bit.
Yeah. I can see that. Because I was, like, thinking very different people.
But, yeah. Like, no, I mean, we got so lucky with our cast to play characters. I mean, Manolo, Leah Spielman, who is... I still am laughing from her character from last
night. I just, now all I want to do is just talk about people that I've met and I think are, like, funny and, like, joys to know. And Leah's definitely one of those people that I met her, like, through the show. And I don't know.
You didn't know her before that?
I didn't. I know Jesse had just started collaborating with her on some stuff.
Oh,
but,
cool.
Like, I didn't know her.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and she's so funny. And
Scott is so smart and so weird. I love playing. I love everything Scott does. I think it was like 2 ago right now, mm-hmm. right? When he ended up doing stand up as that character.
Yeah.
And like, cause it was just all, we were only able to get him that month because mm-hmm. Nilo and Leah were busy and just, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Pit Loft likes us.
Yeah.
So.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to just find more people to talk about that I like.
Okay.
We
can talk about whatever.
I don't know. I like can't think off the top of my head, but that's something. That is one thing that I'm like very grateful for, like this comedy community for.
Yeah.
It's like I've met so many cool, funny people,
yeah.
and like people that just like blow me away, and I feel so cool to like know them.
Yeah, like putting together Seamless, which I'm so happy you're part of. And it seems like you're going to probably be a part of it till the end, I hope.
Sure.
Okay. Because when I pitched that character, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be one or two episodes. And I'm like, I think it's going to be there till the end.
That's cool.
That's been a really fun thing. Because like my friend Kat, I've known her for 10 years. We acted together in college a little bit. Like we met her freshman year of college, my sophomore year of college. And, like, been great friends. And, like, she just moved to New York. And I'm, like, she, like, jumped at the idea of this. And she's not an improviser.
Oh, I was wondering, because I hadn't met her before. She was so
fun. She's fun. So she's cool. Good people.
Yeah.
Like, her and her husband have been, like, good friends of mine for a long time. And, like, yeah, it's, like, so much fun, like, trying to get all my worlds of people that I know are, like, good actors or good improvisers or just people that I, like, trust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I mean... Like her, Kira, and Corey all jump.
Kira is great.
Kira makes
That's
me.
That's another. I was on my Supernova team with her, and she's great.
Kira is the best. I wish we didn't lose her.
I know. I didn't realize that she did your show before. Like, and then her character got killed off before I started.
The funny thing is, like, that was literally going to be like a nightmare when that happened. That's what it was.
Oh.
That's how I wrote it as. And then she told me she got busy. I'm like, okay.
I guess she's dead.
I guess she's actually dead, and we're going to continue with this and not have that be... Yeah, and the funny thing is, if her character didn't stay dead, your character might
Wouldn't
not have existed.
Yeah. So I should thank her.
I don't know. She was great in the 3 episodes she did. It was just so funny, because like, she was supposed to enter the end of the second one, but we went so long that she was really just behind the door for the whole minute.
Yeah.
And we're like, ugh.
That's what I heard.
That one was weird.
Yeah. That's fun, though. It's
yeah. And I'm just really happy, like, because, like, you're just one of those, like, yeah, I mean, like, with Seamless, like, it's cool, because like, I work with people I want to work with, like, people that I find interesting, people that I know I could throw a script at and have them... put a cool take on it. Sorry. I feel like I've talked about Steve, because we talked about it so much on last week's episode.
Who was
this? Mike Muttner.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
But, and he's another friend of mine I've known for ages that, like, is someone I have a lot of respect for, too. So, and I'm deeply indebted to him for letting me have a minute of 10 weeks of show every week.
Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, it's really cool, because, like, I'm trying to put together something that I don't know how to put to words yet. I want to do it with the Brit Pack.
Oh, you emailed me about it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You did.
But not enough interest happened about it.
Really?
Which sucks, because, like, I got a lot of interest from you, Kira, and Jewel, Elizabeth, and no one else, like, emailed me back. I'm like, damn it. Because, like, that could be really cool. Like, I had a really cool idea about that, but I don't think it's going to happen, at least in this way. But, like, there's other things I'm thinking of, like, that, because, like, what I want to do is I want to put together a lot of happenings. That's what I want to do.
Oh, that is interesting, because something, and I've talked to Rob Spencer a little bit about this, and we, like, have talked, but, like, nothing put into works yet. We want to do, like, a slam poetry type show, like an improvised slam poetry.
Yeah.
But I get stuck, because, like, I love doing it. I feel like I'm, like, good at it. That's something I have, like, confidence in.
Yeah.
But it's, like, finding the line between, because what's funny to me about it is, like, what you're saying is just, like, bullshit. Like, you're just saying things, or the way I do it, you, like, you make it sound like you're saying profound things, and it's really easy to make it sound like you're trying to say profound things. But then there's also, like, in saying fake stuff, you actually find moments of, like, actual realness, and, like, having to, I don't quite know how to balance, like...
Email BJ about that. That sounds like a really cool idea.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. So if anyone likes slam poetry, possibly with a comedic take, hit me up.
No, but, like, that sounds fucking cool, though. Seriously. Like, and, like, the idea, like, you might stumble upon, like, a profound moment. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably a reason why I love, like, Never Have I Ever. Like, because, like, there's no rules except you can't videotape or take photos during the show.
Oh, wow.
That's the only rule for Never Have I Ever. Like, what happens in that room happens in that room.
That's cool. I like that.
And I'm still trying to get the courage to email UCB about it. Because, like, I have a slot whenever I want at the Pit Loft.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. But I really think UCB would benefit. Like, I think it would be a mutually cool thing.
Yeah.
I know it sounds, like, so weird. Like, I was like, I mean, I'm very happy with the show, but I also have a lot of people that are interested in the show that are big UCB people, so.
Yeah, so you could make it, well, like, cross-pollination.
Hopefully. I would like to pollinate.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounded so sexually dirty.
So, I have a question. Yeah. Where into the three-act structure?
we're in the third act. I mean, what? Are you getting bored of time?
No, it just feels like I feel like it's just been like a conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's the idea of the podcast.
Yeah, that's nice.
I mean, like, honestly, I'm like, and now we're in act three.
I don't know. I don't know.
I just imagine, like, I just put, like, an Ira Glass voice, like, act three.
If you do like storytelling, my sister just started a great storytelling podcast at on the Utah State University radio. Look it up. Awesome. It's actually really great. My sister, she's 3 years younger than me, but one of my best friends.
Is she the youngest or?
No, I have a younger brother. Yeah. But Jeannie, she actually started doing improv like long before I did. Not here, but, like, where she was.
Yeah.
And then I think that's also why I didn't take an improv class for a while, because I feel like, even as, like, the older sibling, I step on her toes a little bit.
Oh.
Sometimes, like, she starts doing something, and I'm like, oh, what you're doing is, like, so cool, and you're great at it. Like, I want to do it, too.
Yeah.
But then she, like, stopped doing improv right around this time I started doing it, so, like...
But she's like, damn it, Annie's doing it now.
I know, I worry. But no, she found other interests and things, and that's not why, but...
Well, you know, that's cool. Yeah, I want to do more storytelling. I haven't done that in a while. I used to do it a little bit before I was afraid to do stand-up, and then, like, I started doing stand-up, and I'm like, But
I think that's what I was getting at, because I'm actually really interested in storytelling and like wanting to do that. But I'm like, but that's what Jeannie's doing right now. That's what she just started doing. I know.
It's like a weird rule in the Warhouse.
It's not. And she wouldn't care at all. But like, I feel
from what
like,
I know about you and what I know a little about your family is like, you guys are all supportive people.
Yeah, that's true. You're nuts. My family's nuts, but they're great.
Okay. Well, I mean, is there anything looking forward to coming up that doesn't involve you? Like a movie or a TV show or anything like that? Or a play or a dance performance or...
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm on the spot here. I can't.
Okay. Fine.
I don't know. Probably. There's probably lots of stuff.
It is December when this airs.
Oh.
What was that noise?
December. Or about to be December. Oh, do you have a cat?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sorry. I just saw a cat food bowl.
Are you allergic?
No, okay. Not at all. We have cats in my apartment now. That's my cool. Roommate Rachel just took them away for the holidays to be spayed, so.
Oh.
Poor kitties.
I remember when I found you guys were roommates, too. Like,
oh, yeah. Rachel Tansler is my roommate. Another plug. She's so funny. It's literally every show I ever see her do anything, I'm just like God, Rachel's so good.
She's also getting a lot better too. Like she was good like when I first saw her, like because she did she did both Forms from the Bucket and Improv Bingo like a week or two apart.
Yeah.
And like it was like holy shit, that girl's on fire.
And every show there's always a moment where I'm just like, ah, she's great. Even if it's like, because everyone has bad shows, even if it's like a show that's not as great, there's still always like glimmers of like brilliance.
I don't have a bad show.
Anyways, Rachel Tansler. Friend her. She's great.
She's awesome. Okay. Oh,
did you just say you've never had a bad joke?
Yeah, that was
then you are living a charmed life.
Yeah, well, also, it was a bad joke. I like 90% of the time I get off stage, I'm like, well, that was shit. Although, honestly, it was really weird. Like, some magic must have happened during Mr. Danger's set during Forms of Bucket last time. I was like, I don't think I sucked. that's literally what my thought process was, because I was actually afraid to suck. Because I'm always afraid to suck, but I try hard to just suck if I can.
I find I go in, I have waves. I have times where, like, I have a good class or a good show, and then I have, like, another one in a row, and then I'm feeling great, and then I have, like, one of the worst shows of my whole life, and then it, like, goes down, and then it middles out, and then I have, I start getting great again, and then I, like, get cocky about it, and then I, like, just
I've never seen you be cocky, ever.
It's, well, I'm not, like, cocky of the world, but I, like, to myself, I'm just like, I'm great. Like,
your boyfriend sees the cockiness.
He does, yeah.
That's why, because he's also, like, a very cool, humble person.
Yeah, no, but then always, whenever I say, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling really good, which means, like, my next show's gonna be terrible, which is what happens.
I understand that.
And is what happened to me, like, this past week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I had, like, a good class show, and then I had a good class, and, like, I was just feeling, like, comfortable and confident, and then my show on Saturday was just, like, and I knew it, too. I'm like, I'm feeling too good. My show's gonna be bad.
Oh.
And then it was. So I'm, like, cool with it, because, like, I know
it's
coming.
Well, okay, since, how about this? Since you're, like, since, you know, it's December, and, like, you know, what's a movie that you've seen recently that you like a lot?
Ooh. That I like a lot.
Because I know you always, because you are also big on the cutting edge movie scene.
I do like movies. I don't know if I liked it. We had talked about Brooklyn a little bit.
Before we saw recording.
Which I loved because I felt like it was such a clear reflection of my life that it was like uncanny.
That's insane to me, but I think I kind of get how.
Well, it's just
because you're not from Ireland.
I know, but
you're from Mormon, Utah.
There's a moment because I have a lot of like times in my life where, you know, I feel sad being away from my family, and I'm like, maybe I just can go back and like live that life and like find a way for it to be great.
I understand that like fully.
And, like, in the movie, what happens in the movie, she, like, goes back to Ireland even after she's, like, made a life for herself in New York and...
Because of family tragedy.
Yeah, and things, like, work out. And it's, like, I get that. Like, that's what you want. Like, it's always the what if I could go home and things could be great. Because everyone leaves home for a reason. Like, you leave home
Most
for a reason.
Most people do.
Yeah. But then if you go back and it's like those reasons are gone because everything's great, like that's kind of the dream, but also not, because you do have a life, but that's like the fantasy.
Right.
And so then, but then her, I was like, oh my God, like what is she going to do? Because like
genuinely uncomfortable, like for most of the last
act. It was going to, whatever.
Like when she went back to Ireland, all that stuff was happening, I was just like, oh God, like I'm like, why is this happening? Why? Don't you fucking dare do this, that poor guy in America.
That was not my reaction at all. I was not like saying why. I was like, what? Like, stay.
Yeah.
I was like, everything's perfect now. Like, why would you go back even though like you have something great? But then she like had her moment where she was like, oh, I did make a life for myself for a reason. And then I like felt better. I'm like, yep, she's right. She's right. That's why like we do this. You know, I don't know. And then I was just like crying nonstop.
Wait, I feel like we might have like inherently accidentally spoiled this movie for people that have not seen. But the movie, the plus side though, like I did look up the box office numbers this week and like it expanded from like 12 screens to like 150 screens.
That's
so I'm assuming that like by the time this airs, that it'll be seen by people. I don't know. Brooklyn's a great movie. You guys should see it.
Do you know a movie I saw yesterday?
What?
With my friend Sophie. Also great.
Yeah.
Sophie Perot. She's great. I'm plugging all my friends. We went to see Carol.
I really want to see that.
It was like fine.
Is it happy at all? Looks really sad, like all of Todd Haynes movies.
No, I think it's like a mix. There's like happiness and sadness in it. But it just was exactly what I expected it to be.
Okay.
Like, after watching the trailer, it's just, like, exactly what you expect it to be. And I was, which isn't bad. It was, like, a good movie, but there's just, like, nothing, like, surprised me, either, like, pleasantly or otherwise. So, I just walked out feeling very, like, middle of the road
about
it.
And it was, like, packed at the Angelica, probably?
It wasn't, like, super packed, but it was...
Yeah. I haven't been to the Angelica.
It's also 1:30 in the afternoon, and they have showtimes every half hour.
So. Yeah, because the Angelica goes crazy when they have, like, good, big movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last time I was in Angelica, I was seeing Transformers 2 with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, okay.
At 7 in the morning.
God, you waited in that line?
Yeah, I did.
That's awful.
And I enjoyed the experience, so I don't care.
That's okay. Yeah, it's whatever.
I was
you want.
Dead the next day, though, but that's a different story altogether. I was like, what else did I say? Because I had a coach that night, and I was like, they were like, you look tired. I'm like, I am. what about plugs for you? Like, Twitter, Tumblr? Shows?
I don't know. I don't really have any shows coming up.
You do have shows coming up. I'm involved in several of them.
That's true. I guess I'm doing Mark's Seamless Show on Tuesdays. At Mike Muttner's 10 Weeks of Show. I'm in that.
10:30 at the Pit Loft.
He's got it. I don't know. That's it. I'm not really doing much right now, which is like nice. But also
we also have improv bingo either the 29th or 30th of December.
Yeah. And then also
probably be the 30th, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel. that feels right. In terms of like social media, I don't know. I don't really use it.
Okay.
That's fine. I don't like make jokes. I don't like say funny things. Like put them into the world. Okay.
That's fine. That's allowed.
So.
Okay.
Plugging nothing.
Except for Seamless and Improv.
Except for the things I'm doing with Mark.
My plug's quickly at MarkLevy85 is the Instagram and the Twitter. My Instagram is popping recently. I'm not saying I'm posting anything better or great. I'm just saying people are liking the photos. So if you want to follow me, that'd be great.
Do it.
My Twitter is still as mediocre as it usually is. Bad, dumb jokes.
My name's Annie Wohler. Find me on Facebook.
Yeah.
But, like, I'll only friend you if I already know you.
Also, if you want to email the show any questions, suggestions, or comments or whatever, htmpod@gmail.com. Let me think, anything else you need to say? I'll be in Miami in like a week or so because and found out I'll be seeing Star Wars twice in 25 hours, once in New York, and then once in Miami with my best friend whose wedding it'll be that weekend.
When does that come out?
The 17th. Well, officially the 18th, but I'm seeing it at 11 p.m. at the Empire on the 17th, okay. And I'm really excited. What else? Yeah, I think that's it. Annie, thank you so much for this.
Yeah.
And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.